gospel. They were so amazed and joyful, so they held on to the gospel wholeheartedly. At that time, Christian life was so glorious. But as time passed by, complacency and half-heartedness slowly crept into their hearts, and they lost their grip on the gospel. Then, all kinds of problems popped up into their Christian life, such as lawsuits among the believers, sexual immorality, and division in the church. In Paul's eyes, the real problem was that they were not holding onto the gospel firmly. So he wanted to remind them of the gospel. He says, "By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." They believed in Jesus through Paul, and they happily identified themselves as Christians by going to church every Sunday. But Paul says that if they did not hold on to the gospel Paul preached to them, they believed in vain. When we think about this verse very carefully, we can see that Paul was saying that if they held on to the gospel Paul preached exactly as it was, then by that gospel they were saved. But if they did not hold on to it as it was, but omitted something from it or added something to it, then even if they thought they believed in the gospel, they would not have salvation. They believed in vain. So Paul's point was very clear. You must hold on to the gospel as it is. Jesus said the same thing to those Jews who believed in him, showing them how they must live their lives as his believers, saying, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Many Christians do not hold on to the gospel firmly, but very vaguely and loosely. As a result, they are not like followers of Jesus Christ. Instead, they come to have another identity called Sunday Christians or cultural Christians. So then, everything they believe in and learn from the Bible is in vain, helpless, and completely useless. To hold firmly means that a person's entire life value system stands and is built on the gospel. Thanks to that person's struggle to hold on to the gospel, his or her life is being shaped up accordingly, reflecting what he or she truly believes and desires. Challenges come and temptations rise, but still, that person lives the way the gospel desires. Such a person is a real disciple of Jesus Christ. So, by this gospel we are saved, if we hold firmly to it. Then, what is the gospel which we should hold firmly to? Paul says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." So, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The two fundamental problems of all mankind are sin and death. Sin is everything done against God's will and is a violation of God's command. As a result, because of sin, what once used to be a harmonious fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden is now broken. We are cast from God's presence and became aimless wanderers on the earth without any meaning or purpose. Also, according to the law, the price of sin is death. So because of sin, people are dying. And afterwards, they go to hell and suffer eternal judgment. But the gospel shows that Jesus died for our sins, indicating his death was not a natural one, but for our sins, to pay the price of our sins. Jesus died for our sins, and therefore, we don't have to pay the price for our sins. We don't have to die as God's judgment. We don't have to go to hell to pay the price for our sins. Simply in Christ, we find the forgiveness of sin, and we can be right with God, all because Christ died for our sins. The other problem is death. Anxiety, sorrows, paranoia, and fear come from the fact that people die. People are not free to walk at night alone for fear of being killed. They're afraid of, some people are afraid of driving freeways. So they end up just taking side streets to a deadly accident. Many become so mistrusting of others. Death is also the reason of selfishness. With the selfish concern of their own lives, people would rather have others be killed in their place instead of sacrificing themselves. Those under the power of death suffer from endless anxieties, meaninglessness, and emptiness if death is their only fate. Indeed, death is controlling and influencing each mankind, every human being. But the good news is that after paying the price of our sins through his death on the cross, on the third day, he rose again, defeating the power of death. Now, in Jesus, death does not have to be our ultimate fate. We don't have to be driven by endless worries or fears, waiting for the moment when death will finally come to collect. Instead, now we can have the hope of the resurrection in Jesus to live with him forever. In this hope, now we can live life with real meaning, real purpose, real happiness, doing something really glorious for God. Amen. This is the good news.
Amen.
The expression, according to the scriptures, shows that this good news of Jesus' death for our sins and his resurrection is not just a story, a concept, or just a really good idea. Instead, all these happen exactly as God had foretold through many of the prophets in the scriptures. The gospel is an unquestionable truth, and all those who hold firmly to it live unshakable Christian lives.
Yeah.
Paul mentioned several eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Peter, then the 12 disciples. After that, he appeared to 500 more brothers at the same time. Then to James, then to the rest of the apostles, and lastly, Paul himself. All these people primarily lived worldly and empty lives. But after seeing Jesus, who died and rose again, their lives changed gloriously. Peter, a once shaky and spiteful fisherman, came to be stable as a rock, giving hope to many Christians to endure great persecutions through putting their hope in the kingdom of God. Jesus' brother, James, saw Jesus as a politician and wanted to be his publicist so that through Jesus he could gain popularity. But after meeting the risen Jesus, he really met God's personal grace for his life and got the nickname Camel's Knees. His knees were so callous because he prayed so much. And he even wrote the powerful book of James. All those who witnessed Jesus' resurrection no longer lived a life controlled by the hopelessness of sin or the sorrows of death, but lived powerful, bold, and victorious lives as they dedicated their lives to Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and on the third day, he rose again to the scriptures. If we hold on to this gospel firmly, we are saved. Otherwise, we have believed in vain. My name is Jean Mendola. When I was young, I was such a hyperactive, talkative, and carefree girl. But every time I tried to be myself, I received a lot of criticism for it from many teachers, family, and peers. Yet, instead of accepting who I was, slowly I became self-conscious and tried to be what people wanted me to be. In school, I pursued theater and comedy so that I would gain respect from the school by entertaining them and making them laugh. In front of my family members, I would be the girl who smiled and agreed with everything they said so that I wouldn't disappoint them. And when I saw that they gave me approval for theater, I pursued it even harder. When I went out with friends, I would try fitting the image and style of people that everyone looked up to so that I could be acceptable to society. However, when I started college, though I tried to prove myself, I couldn't because I saw everyone as better than I, and I could never meet their standards. So I felt miserable and worthless each day. I was never satisfied with myself or believed I could ever be good enough. It was during this time God sent me his servant who taught me the Bible. As I continued to study, I attended a Benny Hinn crusade where I felt and witnessed God's gentle power as he gave birth to my spirit. Since then, I became alive and hungry for more of God's words, studying the Bible through two Christian groups 3 to 4 times a week. Yet the desire to feel the spiritual power again lingered in my heart. In the summer, I studied the book of Genesis intensively, but one day, we studied John, chapter 4, verses 27 to 42. And verse 38 says, "Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." I saw that all people were ready and ripe for harvest now. So with a sense of life and death urgency, I believed they needed to be picked before they rotted and spoiled. So I accepted God's will to live a life of mission as a Bible teacher at Cal State Long Beach, a harvest worker, determined to pick all the fruits that God had already grown. Mission life was really great. I was happy. But still, even though I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, my life, hope, joy, and confidence still depended on signs, feelings, and human effort. I grew up around a lot of spiritual things through retreats and watching miracle stories on TV or hearing about end times prophecies. And I always thought I needed to feel God or see a sign to know my life as a Christian was valid before Him. I felt that I needed to feel really bad and cry for my sins in order for me to accept that I was forgiven and move on. I always felt that I needed to do things perfectly for God to accept me. So I'd be burdened with laws and commands, afraid that because of my weaknesses, I'd never be able to do them or ever succeed in my mission life. But Paul says, we are saved if we hold firmly to the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. Instead of pursuing a life of trying on my own to be good enough by pleasing people, Jesus died for my sins that I can be right with God, and I don't have to try proving myself to Him or to anyone. Simply, because of Jesus' death, He already sees me as clean and beautiful. Now, I can simply focus on pursuing God wholeheartedly and live to show Him to the whole world. Because Jesus rose again from the dead, I don't have to be fatalistic, thinking that my sin and death will be the end of me. I don't have to suffer from fear or worries about my mistakes or failures ruining my life. Instead, through Jesus' resurrection, even though I failed many times, it is not the end. I can rise again and again with Jesus. His love is not conditional, and Jesus does not have to prove Himself to me anymore. Because of the life the gospel gives me, I know He really loves me for me. Because of this gospel, I will live to pour out my life and my heart for Him, to boldly serve His kingdom work, to share this good news to everyone, and so that students at Cal State Long Beach may put their hope in the gospel to live as real Christians, powerfully committing their lives to Jesus Christ. One word, by this gospel, we are saved if we hold firmly. Amen.